This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Grip Lock, Foundation Disc Golf Weekly Podcast. I'm Hunter, joined again by Trevor and Connor. The boys are back together.
We are boys and we're back.
We're all back. We got the Turku Open went down this past weekend. I would update the Manufacturers Cup, but I don't think I've got it yet. But we'll update the Manufacturers Cup probably next week. We'll talk a little PDGA Masters Worlds went down.
Oh, yeah.
I found a fun
Big
Reddit.
Joe.
Yeah, I found a fun Reddit thread to go through. And then we'll hopefully get to the rest of the questions from Twitter before updating our top 10.
Sounds
fun
like
episode ahead. But before we get into all of that, got to thank the sponsor of today's episode. Not every man has children, but every man is responsible for their two boys below the waist. When your little guys need some attention, trust Manscaped for all your grooming dreams. Join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going over to manscaped.com and use code GRIPLOCK for 20% off and free shipping. You heard it here first. The boys are back in town. Very fitting, given the boys are back in town today.
Nice. That is fitting.
Introducing the lawnmower family, including the Lawnmower 3.0 Plus, the 4.0 Pro, and the 5.0 Ultra. Yep, three trimmers. Isn't it awesome? For the basic trim, go with the 3.0, and then you can work your way up to the 4.0 and 5.0 for the ultimate grooming experience. Taking it on the go? No worries. Manscaped has you covered. These trimmers come with a travel case and even a travel lock feature to avoid any accidental powering and or weird looks in the airport.
You sure don't want it.
Get 20% off and free shipping with code GRIPLOCKED over at manscaped.com. Again, that's 20% off and free shipping with the code GRIPLOCKED at manscaped.com. Support them as they support us. One of our longest going advertisers.
You could probably trim this paint roller bare as can be.
Trevor has trimmers.
Wow. Let's put that down before people get a visual. Turku Open went down this past weekend.
Impossible shot.
Nope.
Good stop. Good stop.
Oh, no.
It's not the shot. It's not the shot.
By the way, Silas, I forgot to give you the bag for Silas Select. I hit the Silas Select last week. I'm dead serious.
Right. Yeah.
He
you're
was a warlock.
Liar, you're
Silas,
a dirty
back
liar.
Me up. I got
you're
a warlock last
and
week.
Also, I'd like to add, you guys are snakes, because I said on the week that you weren't here, I said, no, I would never do it when the three of us
are
here.
How was I supposed to know that?
You should have remembered.
How was I supposed to know that?
At that point, it had been so long since we'd done it, it just made sense to do it.
Yeah,
It's just funny because I said...
Connor went
I said
with,
I would
funny.
Never do it when all the boys aren't here because I wouldn't want anybody to miss out on the vibe.
I take
funny,
part of
Connor,
the credit because I said wizard
I
first.
Like, Connor said wizard first, Hunter, and then I said warlock. It's like, oh, wizard, warlock. And then it was a freaking warlock.
Yeah. I don't believe you.
You want to see the clip?
I bet you did make a clip. I bet you rigged it. I wasn't here. I'll never believe
you.
And this is why I said it should never be done when somebody isn't here, because I will now have animosity for the rest of the time, and I'll never believe you.
Silas has it.
I'll never believe you. I'll die.
I'll get it again. I'll go back.
I'll die on this.
Silas and I are linked. It's like Avatar.
I will die on the hill.
We didn't.
I did.
We
didn't
do it last week. There was one. It was funny. I said something of like. I said something
good
of.
Good thing you didn't get worked up about it. That would have been embarrassing.
I said something. Yeah. I was like, oh, we can't do Saw Select. Not all of us are here. And Connor goes, yeah, we didn't do one last week either. I was like, oh, perfect. Makes perfect sense. And then immediately after, I was like, we got to tell him I got
it. I figured you had actually filmed it. And just said like I figured you had filmed the clip and then before that on the show said, guys, we're gonna film this clip just so we can show it. That's what I thought was about to happen.
I would say you responded fairly mildly, Trevor. I feel like any of us would have freaked out way more.
I was going to be more yelling.
I mean, I was...
What was it? We were in sync there, Connor. I was about to say, what's funny is Connor guessed the wizard. And then Connor goes, yeah, I guessed the wizard right before. I'm like...
It was like we rehearsed that.
Yeah.
That's dude, Trevor, right also, like just to give you everybody listeners. A little preview, if you're not part of the Heiser Club, we do the Heiser Club mailbag every Friday. It's super fun. You get to submit questions.
Did I miss and a fun game on them. There, too?
We're going to do it this week as well, but somebody did the how well do you know
oh,
Hunter.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So I got Connor's preliminary score set.
We're not going to tell you how many out of
yeah.
how many.
Oh, okay. So you can go head-to-head against Connor.
Cool.
But we also went,
I kind of killed it.
He did. We also went back down the iced tea, sweet tea route. We got more information. This is my statement.
Okay.
You tell me if my statement. This is where I landed. Ahead, people on Griplock, you can chime in.
I drank iced tea all
week. We won't. Okay, so there's iced tea and sweet tea. Connor and I, to give you some background, if you're not a Heiser Club member, if you want to be, patreon.com/foundationdiscgolf. If you're not a Heiser Club member, though, Connor and I, being raised in the South, always just assumed iced tea meant unsweet tea.
Because
you have sweet tea down here, and you always heard when you went up north.
If you order iced tea, you have they'll give you unsweet tea.
But iced tea is just a blanket for cold tea. So it can be sweet, it can be unsweet, it can be whatever. Some people were chiming in that like in New York, if you order iced tea, you get tea with just packs of sugar on the side and it is unsweet, which is what Connor and I thought. So the statement that's I eventually landed on was the tea is as sweet
this
as
is,
the people.
This is a specifically Hunter take, just to be clear. I don't want to be roped into what this.
So like the tea's about? As sweet as the people. So, like, if you're in New York City, yeah, you're getting some sugar packets on the side and some unsweet tea. If you're from York County, Pennsylvania, it's probably going to be pretty sweet.
I mean,
see,
that's...
Hunter,
that's...
I felt like this take should have been reserved for the mailbag.
I was just a statement. Because, like, if you're getting offended, you probably drink your tea sweet. Because you're probably a sweet person.
Yeah, it's not a problem if you just serve your tea with sugar in it.
Well, no, I think it's just
a
natural,
guy.
Like, if you got Southern hospitality, you're going to put some sugar in some tea, and it's going to be, the tea's as sweet as the people.
Well, what's funny is I went back and, because I did a lot of thinking that night, and I went back and I remembered another iced tea that was like a very signature iced tea in my area, which is Turkey Hill iced tea. And I was like, let me look up that one.
They make ice cream.
Because that one, they're based out of Lancaster, Pennsylvania. That one, I was like, for sure, that is an iced tea I would say was synonymous with like Pennsylvania, like my area. Sure enough, just as much sugar. So I'm right there with you. We need to make a stand.
I think we need to go to like another place that is like just known for being not necessarily rude, but like they're just like they give it to you straight.
Well, what food/drink
like
are we going
to
tear
like,
down next?
We should have went to when we were in Boston, because Boston's a very like they'll tell you how
hey,
it is.
Hey, I'm honking here.
We should have I did make a joke about that on the mailbag. But when we should have went to Boston and ordered an iced tea.
Yeah.
I bet
yeah.
Let me Google it. We'll do one quick Google and then we'll get back to
Discord. Yeah, sorry guys, one quick Google.
How
that's a new segment called One Quick Google.
Iced tea.
Whenever we were in Boston,
in
I also Googled
Boston.
Why is everybody.
Well, I think it's all in the harbor,
us?
Isn't it?
I think I also made that joke.
That's why it's iced. Whenever we were in Boston, just let everybody know, I literally Googled, why is everybody honking at us? Because it was people were honking at Hunter.
Oh, if people turn left downtown.
No, Connor was Googling if people just don't turn left. Because like I had to turn left and I couldn't go.
Oh,
and
man.
A UPS driver was behind me. We went up there to play Maple Hill. UPS driver was behind me. He goes, bah, bah, and I'm like, I can't go left. Like,
yeah.
So Connor Googled.
It was
like,
every time he tried to turn left, people were honking at
him. So that's what, okay, so unlike traditional iced tea, Boston iced tea is known for its slightly sweet flavor profile.
Comment slightly down below sweet. What your state's iced tea is.
Yeah.
Because it's different everywhere.
Boston is slightly sweet, which makes sense.
This is how we figured out, Trevor.
Because on the range, I would say Boston, from my experience being there, slightly sweeter than the people I ran into in New York.
We think that
City,
England
New York
are,
City. I guarantee in the farmland like Buffalo, New York, they're probably drinking some darn sweet tea.
That England has the tea culture, but we don't realize right under our nose we have one of the most diverse tea cultures.
We just call it
out
iced
there.
Tea.
Oh yeah.
We also found out Bojangles refers to all of their tea as iced tea.
Yeah, it says on
iced
the cup.
Tea, sweet
world
tea
legendary
is called,
iced tea. I was drinking.
He was holding a
Bojangles during the mailbag, and I went, "No way, Hunter! Look!" And it said on the cup, legendary iced tea.
Crazy. All right.
Anyways, if you enjoyed that, you're going to love the mailbag. That's pretty much, just imagine an hour of that.
If you didn't enjoy that,
then
don't
worry.
Then you probably don't drink your tea sweet.
Don't worry. We're about to get into disc golf. The Turku Open went down this past weekend. It was another one of the full Pro Tour events that happened in Europe. So not quite a full field, but...
Is that one in Finland? Is that where they were?
Turku? Let's see. MPO... Turku, Finland. Yes, sir.
I am literally a beast at geography.
Why don't you... Okay, well, why don't you try to pronounce the course?
That would be... a little closer. That would be... Lovori.
There's more.
Frisbee golf pistol.
Why are you changing?
I don't know.
I have to get an accent in character. Okay. I was becoming UC.
So we had
the No Dismania Pito.
Nicholas Antela took down first James Proctor. Weird European
We've
name.
We really started off hot with first we made fun of all New York, and then I'm pretty sure I just offended all of Finland.
You did just offend a lot of people, but it's okay. I've got
I tried my best.
I got a lot of good stuff to say about this tournament. So we'll bring it back in.
Okay.
Nicholas Antela won, James Proctor second. Marty Vilman. I listened for so long because I knew I was going to mess it up.
I'd like to...
Maury, I think, is how I want to say it.
Maury.
So I'm a roll with it. Maury Vilman. And then on the FPO side, we had Silva Saarinen take it down over Evelina Salonen in second and Henna Blomroos in third.
I'd like to claim... I'd like to crown James Proctor of the king. He's now the king of going all the way to Europe, taking the trouble, and then coming in second. I think he's done it two or three times.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't the only one. I think... let's see.
There weren't a lot of Yanks over there, if you will.
Eric Oakley made the trip, came in 29th.
Oh, Eric.
I thought Clay Edwards made the trip, came in 37.
That's what the British people call us, the Yankees. Yanks.
I don't know if there's any other U.S. people that made the trip.
They call all Americans Yankees?
That's like a nickname for us.
Don't know.
Interesting.
Silva Saarinen took it down, though. Impressive win over Henna and Evelina. We talked about this last time, where the FPO, the field, is stronger. Because two of the best players, being Henna and Evelina, are also over there.
Yeah, boy.
And if you look at Silva's season this far, it was kind of just waiting for this to happen. Because if you look, she started at U.S. Women's, was her first event of the year, 34th. Not great. Well, then she goes 23rd at Texas State. Okay, a little better. Then she goes 10th at Jonesboro. Now we're talking 9th at Music City. Okay, 4th at Champions Cup. Wow.
You're talking.
And then she went over and got 3rd at the Copenhagen Open, played two silver events back-to-back. Over the DGPT silver events, won both of those, and then just won. So she's literally went 34th and just slowly climbed her way up to now three wins in a row. Two
I just
silvers.
Really, I just really enjoyed your Turku exclamations. Also, your exclamations were making me laugh.
Also, Silva Saarinen is a sick name.
Yeah.
So
it was a very solid performance out there for Evelina and Henna. It was a very classic way for them to lose. Evelina led the field in fairway hits, C1 in regulation and C2 in regulation. But lost to her putting.
That's a shock.
Henna basically led the field in all of the other throwing stats. Let me actually tell you what she led the field in here. Because Henna led the field in scramble percentage and parked percentage. And she was right behind Evelina in the C1, C2. But here's the stat. Silva Saarinen gained 14.67 strokes putting on the field. And Evelina and Henna both lost over one stroke. So to Silva, who they lost to by 2 and 3 respectively, they lost 15 and 16 strokes putting.
That is tough.
So that's where it is. They were throwing the disc great, better than anyone in the field.
Yeah, that tells you they were throwing the disc significantly better.
Well, not... Silva was hitting fairways. You got to give her flowers. She was 77% fairway hit, whereas Evelina was only 81 leading the field. But she just...
C1 in reg,
it's
though.
A C1 in reg. Like, Evelina Salonen had 76% of her holes. She was at circle 2 in regulation. But she was 0% circle 2 putting.
Fairways hit is also kind of whack because par 3s, they can just hit the first tree and be in the fairway.
And circle 1x putting, she was 63%. So that's whereas Henna was 52% circle 1x putting. Like that's where it all came down. Like if you look at their average putt distance, Evelina Salonen's total putting distance for the entire weekend was 563 feet. Silva Saarinen's was 946 feet.
Mm.
So she was just like, that stat more so to me tells... She was just making longer putt. Like her average putt was 17 feet, whereas Evelina's average putt was 10 feet. Her average putt was basically inside the bullseye. Bullseye. Now, Evelina did gain 13 strokes on Silva tee to green, but it just doesn't matter when you're losing 16 putting.
Yeah, you just can't do that.
You can't do it.
You just can't.
But you can't. I mean, you got to give the flowers to Silva. She played well, and she made her putts. Like, she was 83% C1X, only missed 5 C1X putts, and 45% on the weekend circle 2.
That's really
which
good.
Is crazy. I think it was mainly this round 2. She went 83% C1X, or circle 2, 5 for 6, with her long putt being 42 feet.
Wow, her longest putt was 42 feet, so she was just...
She was in that sweet spot.
That money C2 range. Why is there not more? I think I wonder if anybody has, like, when's the last time somebody won and lost more than one stroke to the field putting? Like, I feel like that's
Evelina, like, so probably both times she won this year.
But lost over a stroke to the field?
I don't know. Like, well, let's actually take a look.
I would be curious to see if she's lost more than one stroke to the field putting and still won.
Her more recent win, Champions Cup, the major. Let's see here. A few hole scores. Stats. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go stats. All Evelina, when she won Champions Cup, she lost 2.7 strokes to the field putting.
Okay, well.
But that was Champions Cup.
Well, yeah, that might be an outlier.
Let's look at chess.com.
Putting was not anybody's concern at Champions Cup. Yeah, chess.com would be a better tell. It wouldn't shock me. I'd just be curious. It's crazy that she lost that many strokes at Champions Cup. That tournament was just keeping the fairway.
Let's see. View hole scores. And let's go to stats here. Evelina Solonen, all rounds. She lost 2 strokes in chess.com.
Never mind.
So both times Evelina's done
it. Can absolutely be done.
But she, holy frick, she she gained 31.7 strokes tee to green at chess.com. She was gaining over 10 strokes tee to green per round at chess.com.
That's pretty significant.
To win by 5. That's wild. So, yeah, if you're gaining 32 strokes tee to green, you can lose 2 on the putting. Yeah, it's fine to lose 2 if you're gaining 32.
This game was never meant to be about putting, man.
That's crazy.
Old school disc golf, just throw it.
That legitimately got me choked up. Like, that wasn't like I'm sick. Like, that was like, I saw that.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I didn't believe it. That's crazy. Now, in MPO, the big story was the incredible final round of Niklas with the course record 12 under. Really, the big highlights for me here was he got his back nine started on the front nine with a crazy putt on hole 9. It was like this approach disc, almost a throw, but it was definitely a putt. He like needed it to hyzer around a bunch of trees. If you haven't seen the highlight, you need to go at least look on
probably
Twitter.
Darn near. It was probably like 90 feet.
No, it was less than that. It was it? Because it actually surprised me.
It
looked really far, but when I looked at it this morning on like his actual, let me go to the scores and tell you what it was. It has it at 72. So never mind.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm thinking of his putt on 14, which was the Anheuser, I believe, was only 42 feet.
Well,
that one looked long.
That one was, it looked long because he had to go, like, from actually relationship him to the basket wasn't that far,
backwards.
But he had to go backwards and around something.
Yeah, but that putt kind of got things going here because he threw that and he couldn't even see the basket. It was just a crazy hyzer putt in, and then he just didn't really slow up. He ended up going 10 under through his last 11 holes.
Wow. That round only rate 10.43. Is that what I just saw?
Surely not. No, that's the event.
Oh.
That round.
Is it not that one up there next to his
1081. PG? 1081.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to say, there's no shot. But he was down by, I believe it was 5 going into the back nine. But when he went 10 down through the last 11 holes, he just wore down Mari Vilman because he was in control. Like at the front, he was making shots he needed to make. He was throwing the disc well. But as Niklas was just doing stuff like that, he just chipped him away. And you saw the lack of experience being in, like, he's I believe Mari's won on some bigger stages, but like it's a different story when you're going for your first Elite Series win. And you know, you have Niklas chasing
no
you down.
Stranger.
That's a whole different ball game, and you could see his confidence just get chipped away. To by the end, I mean, he looked like Rory McIlroy. He was just missing tap-ins. Like even hole 18, he had a 15 or 20 footer that would have kept him tied for second. He couldn't win it anymore, but it kept him tied for second with James Proctor. And it was the basket kind of threw it out, if I'm thinking of the right putt, but it still was a missed putt. And so he looked like a very solid player overall, though. It was good to see him again against a hot Niklas, because I think that's where last time we had Jesse Nieminen took it down and Connor discredited his victory. but here, when we had Niklas, like, we've seen Niklas win at the Open at Austin, and we saw Niklas was hot.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like, oh, well, Niklas just kind of chipped around, like, I think he won at 24 under, 25 under, and got 12 under of it in the last round. And you could tell, like, he got hot. And we know when he got hot, he's been good enough to win in a full pro tour event. Yeah. So, you know, for Mari Vilman to even hang in there, because he shot a respectable 4-under the final round. He got to 22-under for the tournament. It just, at the end of the day, when someone gets that hot, if so, you aren't locked in and you, he let some things start to slip, it just slipped away from
him. So what are we weighing this pro tour out of from 0 to 1, 1 being it's a full legit win? Actually, 0 to 1.5, because I feel like we usually go to like, actually, 0 to 2. We'll just say like the most significant major win ever is something you would almost count as a double points.
So like a Worlds is like a 2 or USDGC is a right. 2. A normal, regular pro tour is like a 1.
Yeah, chess.com, 1.
1, but then there's some pro tours that probably get like 1.5 because it's like a full
yeah,
field.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. I don't know about 1.5, maybe like 1.2.
Hey, so on that scale.
Trevor, consider this your warning. Don't hit the
table. Yeah, don't hit the
again.
Desk anymore. On that scale where 2 is like a USDGC top win, I would put this specific pro tour 0.6.
What was, because like, what would you have said the last one was?
0.6, 0.5. Because, I mean, I think when Yese won, correct me if I'm wrong, I think Niklas and them were still there. It's just, here's the thing, right? Let's see if Stat Mando has their strength of, there's a woodpecker next door.
Uh-oh.
We waited too late in the day. They're about to start drilling through the wall. Let's see if Stat Mando has their, like, strength of field, because last time we talked about a European event, I want to highlight some things this European event did very well in a second. But last time we did it, we talked about strength of the field strength as if everyone just knew the stat existed and people thought we were just making it up. This is a Stat Mando, the official stats, they're owned by the PDGA. This is their strength of field is what we were using. So the Turku Open comes in at 13th, which below it, the Copenhagen Open is technically a little below it. But, I mean, to give you a reference, it and the Las Vegas Challenge were almost, they were pretty neck and neck. The Turku Open comes in a little bit ahead of Las Vegas Challenge, but it is at a 21.5 strength of field. The next closest pro tour was the Dynamic Discs Open at 46.9.
Over double.
So over twice as hard to win, statistically. That's not an opinion, that's stats.
That's
on paper.
Not an opinion, that's stats.
Now, what is interesting is Champions Cup comes in at 63.2 because of how tight that field is, how like it's like invite only and everything. Waco is actually at 72.6. So the hardest pro tour to win this year statistically was Waco at 72.6.
Does that mean ratings are
Turku
inflated
is
in
at
Texas?
21.5.
All Texas. Wasn't that one guy from Texas that like got like 10.38 rated and never played again?
Something like that, yeah.
Ratings are easy in
but
Texas.
Anyways, so that's the strength. So it's, you got to take this on the chin. Like you got to, at the end of the season, will Niklas currently as we sit, does he have 2 Elite Series wins? Yes. Is he equal with Calvin Heimberg? No. Because you do have to factor strength of field. And like this is statistically an easier win. Certainly. He can't change anything about it. Mm. He showed up, he played the course, he shot an incredible final round. Would he have beat Calvin Heimberg if he was there? Maybe, but there's no way to know. Mm. And that's the whole problem is, you got to take something away because there's no way to know. He can't control who showed up and who didn't, but that still means they didn't show up. So it's still like, if you read this field, like I said, you have Niklas, you have James Proctor, and then like if you go to other players down here, like you have a Jakub Simarad. I know that, Lori Lettinen, I know he's played some over here. You had Vino Makala was over there. Like there's guys that we've seen come over to the States and they were getting beat. Like Vino came in 29th. Eric Oakley, like I said, came in 29th. So like there's guys we've seen over here get beat. So it's not like the field was just like no one we've ever heard of, like Silver Lot, we've seen him. So you've seen these guys, but we don't have that much to compare it to. Is at the end of the day, that's the tough part. And when guys do go over there, when you have Niklas over here, he won. When James Proctor's over here, second. So, and James Proctor hasn't had that great of a season in the U.S. So you also have to factor things like that. And like his other best finish on the Pro Tour was 12th at Jonesboro. Everything outside of that's been outside the top 20 this season so far. So
it is what it is.
It is what it is. But there's nothing the player can do about it. It's just when we are digesting these stats, you have to factor that in. With that being said, loved the course. It looked awesome. It looked very professional, very put together. And I was trying to put my finger on it because every time they go to Europe, it's not necessarily the landscape that makes courses feel this way, because the landscape, like, it definitely is different than the U.S., but, like, we have plenty of beautiful parks over here that we play on and stuff.
I think it's just because they have giant parks that have nothing else in them.
No, here's what I've landed on, okay, is the professionalism of the grounds is how I'm going to word it. But like their OB is all consistently marked with the stakes. You could see it very clearly. Just outside of OB, a lot of times was taller grass. So visually, there was no question. It was very easy to tell what's OB and what's not. And the placement of advertising, I think it's solely because there was less advertising at this event, way more tasteful. The advertising was like by the tee and stuff. It was placed in the branding of the event, the white and blue branding of the event just felt everywhere. Everything was pretty much white and blue except for like the Zuka flags and stuff. But when you got to the OB, there wasn't those like giant walls lining the OB and stuff like that. The course just looked more naturally beautiful because I think with there being less advertising, it just allowed the natural beauty of the course to shine through more. And like there was still like crowds out there. They still had like fence and stuff, but like you didn't have, there wasn't just a bunch of different loud artwork like trying to grab your attention everywhere. It was just, you were just welcomed into the beauty of the course.
Yeah, I believe it was Champions Cup that was finally doing some advertisement like integrated color schemes. Because like we mentioned before, like if you go to the PGA Tour events, if Foundation were to advertise at a PGA Tour event and our colors are black and gold, it doesn't matter. They're going to make our logo and text say whatever, but it's going to be in the color scheme of the event, or it's going to blend in.
It's at least going to be like white on like a...
They were doing like green and white to make everything kind of blend into the grandstands. And like, yeah, it may make you a little less visible, but they're not willing to sacrifice the look of the event and the style of the event for, you know, the whatever graffiti you want to throw on a wall.
That was just Silas. That wasn't even construction.
Off, dude.
Silas selected something violent for lunch back there. But I think that the
Silas, dude.
Silas, man. That's construction. We're just all over the place right now. The course, like, I understand the Pro Tour has to monetize, right? And so I don't really, it's a catch 22, I think, because like I think part of the reason the natural beauty comes through so much at a course like this is because there's not enough advertising. It just lets it come through. Now, there's some parks that, like, in the U.S., there is no natural beauty to let come through. Like, that's fair. We play some places that are just like, it is what it is. But some places, like, if we just let it do its thing, is very beautiful. It just gets commercialized by the banners lining every hole, by like the feather banners, as many places we can put them, and like they're trying to monetize every inch of the course, which then dilutes all of it and makes it less effective.
It's a weird balance.
Just something I thought of, because even the baskets were all white with a blue flag. Like everything, there's just, it felt, you could feel an attention to detail out there.
Yeah,
that you just don't feel a lot of times, and it's probably just because the team running that, you know, this was a big stage. Versus the teams running the U.S. events are like, they're doing this every week. You know, there's just a different feel. So, like, I think there's a lot of reasons for it, but that was what was, like, screaming through the screen at me, was just, like, it felt very much like there was a lot of pride in this event.
I think a great thing that could come out of the European swing of the tour, because I've always said that there's nothing you can do about it, but, like, their park properties they play on are usually much better than ours. They just seem to have just, like, it. I mean, it's like... To use an example, it's like if we had just a ready availability of like national park quality properties.
Yeah.
Like that's what you get over there. They just have more access to them, I guess. But I mean, one of the great things that could come out of the European tour is, you know, if like visually they are just taking it more serious at running those events and doing a better job and whatever it might be, then, you know, that'll eventually catch on and people will be like, hey, we need to start doing certain things this way because they're making us look bad. Like, you know, it's always good to have somebody pushing the standard, because it's, yeah, there's no doubt that anytime there's ever been an event, I've never seen a like professional level event in Europe that wasn't run like really well and everything looked really nice and in place. It does seem like there's this extra level of care.
Yeah. Now, the other thing I really liked was the commentary. I thought was great.
Yeah, they're always good.
I was trying to put my finger on it and I landed on two things. One, they just talked about the golf. There wasn't a lot of, I remember when I blah, 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 blah. Like, there wasn't a lot of excess talking, which some people are going to dislike, some people are going to like. I enjoyed it. Like, it was just, they were locked in and focused on the golf, and you could tell they were trying, both of them were trying very hard to be professional in what they were doing, which I think added to the professionalism that was going on. Because, granted, I was watching the U.S. Open. And typically, if you're watching a professional golf event and you're locked in, and then you turn on disc golf, it just like screams all of the stuff that disc golf does differently at you, because you just hear, like, the U.S. Open obviously was like a top end broadcast for golf, and like, you just, it was very well done, very professional. Obviously, they said that I think CNBC or whoever was covering it had a bigger team covering the U.S. Open than they do the Super Bowl.
Wow,
crazy.
That's crazy.
But anyways, but when I was watching disc golf, I didn't feel that jarring. Like, it felt like a lower budget, because duh. I mean, we're talking millions of dollars lower, but it didn't feel nearly as jarring. And I was trying, again, just be like, think through what is different. And the one thing that came through was the commentators were trying to hold themselves very professional. They didn't do a lot of joking around. They didn't do a lot of straying from what we're seeing. And the second thing, I think this was even the bigger thing, I don't know how to put this, but it felt like they genuinely cared. Like, it felt like when they got excited, they were actually excited, not trying to act excited. And like, they let
one thing you can't fake is a commentator.
They let their feelings come through. Like, when someone threw a bad shot, they just were willing to just be upset. Like, be like, oh no. You know what I mean?
I think I think that sometimes the European commentators are more blunt.
Yeah, like, that might be it too.
They tell it how it is sometimes. With,
but
like,
then,
the
like,
shots.
There were some shots that, like, I watched, and to the viewer at home, it didn't feel like that crazy of a shot, but the commentary's mind was blown, and that made my mind get blown by it.
Yeah.
Like, it was similar to Bryson going over to US Open. Bryson getting up and down on that last hole, it was hard to relay how difficult that shot was through the camera, right? But when you had, or it might have been earlier, you had Bones, who was like a, you know, one of the all-time great caddies, saying that it was a top 10 up and down of all time, that like speaks to you at home of like, holy cow, that was a crazy shot.
Sometimes with golf, it like, gives you context. Right.
That's kind of what I was feeling over there, because I had no reference for this course. I think this was even a newer layout. I hadn't watched the Turku Open previously, but I think this was even a new layout to them. But I had no reference for how hard some stuff was. You couldn't tell how uphill and stuff. But someone would throw a shot, and the commentary team mind would get blown, and not like a fake mind blowing. Like, it didn't, it felt very like, this guy genuinely can't believe what he just saw this player do. And it made me go, holy crap, I can't believe he just did that. And then I like sat back, I'm like, Hunter, you have no idea. That could have been a 100-foot shot. You don't know. No, but like, I felt it. I got excited because the commentary team, you could feel it in their bones. They were genuinely blown away by what they were watching.
That's an important role to add context, because especially, and disc golf is similar to golf, and where sometimes things that look routine are difficult. And I think, like, for instance, one of the things that I always like is when somebody throws a really good drive on a hole, and you hear a commentator say, like, I haven't seen a drive land that far all day, or like, I don't know if I've ever seen a drive get to that spot. Like, say things like that to really reinforce how good of a shot something was so that you can appreciate it. Because sometimes, you know, it's a game of landing in the middle of fairways. So sometimes you need a little bit of help to like understand the difficulty of the shot. Or set it up, you know, before the shot even happens. Talk about how difficult it's going to be, what has to be avoided. Give us context so that if the shot is executed, we're already expecting it to be super difficult. And that's part of the role.
Well, that was one thing they did too, is before, I forget what hole it was on, but there was a certain hole that had like a sweet spot for where to land. And they were talking about that pre-drive of like, this is the sweet spot area. Yeah. And then Niklas threw it about 60 feet or 100 feet. They were talking in meters, which made me just kind of... A lot of math was going on in my head. He threw it well past the sweet spot. And so once it sailed over the sweet spot, they were able to provide that context, because they had already laid the groundwork of like, this is where players are trying to get during the flyover. And then when he sailed through it, they had this like, oh my word, and that's like 60 feet past the sweet spot. I've never seen a drive get there. And again, instantly my appreciation for what Niklas just did went through the roof. And I'm like, this dude's on fire. This dude's going off. I had no reason to know that. It looked like a pretty routine shot for him, but it's just like, I now had context for how good it was.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
No, really enjoyed it. Just some thoughts. Now, speaking of the U.S. Open.
We're pro-Europe.
Speaking of the U.S. Open, I did notice, because Brody had brought this up during debate night, and I had never paid attention to it because their commentary on golf just flows so well. And he was talking about, because I had brought up how when Ian threw it to Perkins back at Beaver State, it was like always jarring, and poor Perkins always sounded out of breath, and like he didn't know who he was about to get thrown to, mm-hmm. and it just like broke everything up. Mm-hmm. And Dustin, who was a commentator, he was like, well, what sport do they like? So many sports, like they don't use the on-the-ground commentary team to do commentary. And Brody goes, they do in golf. Mm-hmm. And I was like, interesting. So I just paid attention a lot.
They have a ton of them usually.
I paid attention a lot this weekend. And how they were using it at the U.S. Open was basically every important shot, because Rory and Bryson were the two that coming down the stretch, they were the ones that you were seeing every shot. There's also like Patrick Cantlay was in there too. But really, Rory and Bryson, you needed context for every shot. And they would just let the on-the-ground guy take over the commentary. So they would be like if Trevor was my on-the-ground guy, they would be like, and now we're Rory's on the 16th. Trevor, what do you see? Yeah. And then Trevor would take over and be like, yeah, he's got a 7-iron. It's going blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of tailwind. I think he's going to try to land this short and let it roll onto the green.
This ball's on a really good line headed right at the
pin. And then as soon as he hit it, they'd be like, oh, he's not happy. And they were giving you context that I couldn't see. They're like, Rory's not happy with it. It looks okay, but I think it's just going to roll off the back edge of the green. It looks like he kind of hit it too thin. And then that was all on the ground. Mm-hmm. And then it came back to the booth for the booth to be like, bring you back into that world and jump. Booth is almost handling transition.
It's almost like an alley-oop. If you notice, the booth really takes over before the shot and then well before the shot. And then when the ball is on the green, so like if a great shot is hit, let's say Jim Nance is the main guy and he's got David Faraday on the ground or whatever. Because a lot of times they have like teams of like six of them and they're like, they'll be like, so-and-so is on holes 10, 11, and 12. They'll pick it up. This ball is on a really good line. It's headed right for the pin, and they kind of leave it there. And when it lands, Jim Nance takes back over. Wow, what a shot! He's gonna be putting for birdie. And then obviously on the putts, they're kind of taking that over. They'll maybe get the read from another guy. But you're right, they let him take the wheel because they understand that that guy's standing right there. A golf ball is really hard to track.
Yeah.
And even with all the pro tracer they have now, you can never get the best idea, especially on approaches towards the green, until like hearing those commentators talk you through the shot is the best way to get it across.
Well, because like imagine just to
it's
bring
a really
it
good system.
To bring it to disc golf, right? Like imagine we're like, okay, Paul's on the tee on 17. Connor, you're down there. What are you seeing? And Connor's like, look, he's been going fairway driver all week, but we have a like ripping tailwind. He actually disced down to a buzz right now, but everyone else stayed with their shot. It's going to be very interesting to see. Yeah, okay, it looks like it's flying great. The tailwind's definitely carrying it. It looks like it's going to cover the OB. That should be in a great spot.
Yeah.
Versus the commentary team in the booth,
they see what we see. Right.
So they might, they're guessing just as much as you're guessing at home. Now they can know the course and give more context, but when you're on the ground, you can just see so much more.
Some of the best commentary we got, man, was Terry Miller in that backpack doing the live smash.
Because especially like when the camera cuts and it's following the disc, the guy on the ground can be like, oh, Paul's ticked. As it's like mid-flight, oh, Paul's ticked. It looks like that might have came out a little early. It looks like he's getting lucky. He has no idea where that's going to end up. That's so much more context than we
booth,
get right now.
In the booth, they have to react anyways. So you might as well let somebody else talk through the shot and then react when you're supposed to. They're really only meant, like those guys in the booth, like they're in that sport, they're really exclamation points.
Yeah, and they're
the way
like,
they're doing it now.
It felt like they kind of handled the transition to make sure you as
and it's
you,
so smooth you don't notice it like, until you listen
I had
in.
Never paid attention until Brody said that, and then this week I was like, I just noticed like they basically had I think Smiley was with Bryson and Bones was with Rory's group. They were doing 80% of the commentary. Mm-hmm. It felt like they were just throwing it to them, and they had already read the putt beforehand, and they're like, yeah, this one's gonna break really like Bryson, I don't know if he's giving this enough credit where he's lined up. I had it like 2 feet left to where he's aiming, blah, blah.
And here's
like,
another key thing.
Oh, he's gonna miss this inside.
Another key thing to mention is because they mic everything up so well, there's a mics all over the greens, all over the tee box, near the caddies. The commentators in the booth do not feel like they have to feel dead space. I mean, it goes dead silent of the times on the pro tour. Well, I would say
on golf.
Yeah, on the pro tour mix, sometimes when they stop talking, it just gets a little too quiet because they don't have enough audio to fill. But on golf, they know if I let this sit, I'm going to catch something the caddy's saying to his player or whatever it might be, and it works out great.
Yeah. Now, obviously, miking the course, we're not there yet.
No.
But we do have the on the ground guys. I just think we're misusing them, is what I learned this weekend. Because even the way the European commentary team, I don't think they had someone on the ground. They might have, I don't remember. But the way the European guys were talking, like, they were doing a very good job of picking up when, I think it was...
Yeah, it helps when they know the course better.
Mari Vilman, I think on like hole like 13 or 14, some, one of them were like, it was a, if you attacked the green, it could get very dicey. He disced back to a mid-range, and they were able to provide that context of like, it's very interesting. He's not gone mid-range all week, but he's going mid-range in this situation, just trying to make sure he gets a three. And then when it came out of his hand, they instantly picked up of like, that doesn't have enough power. This could get really dicey for him. And then he got lucky through the trees. And like, they were doing a really good job of that. I don't know. Just something I noticed. We interrupt this episode to bring you breaking news.
Beep, 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 beep.
We were, this episode was already recorded. Sorry, it was exported. It was about to be posted. And then we just got hit with the grip lock curse
you
that we avoided
can't beat us,
by
Kevin.
About 40 minutes, 30 minutes.
We beat the curse.
Kevin Jones, KFJUSA on Instagram, made a post out of the blue. Mind you, it is June right now, and he said, goodbye, Prodigy.
He said, I'm out of the green.
He said, goodbye, Prodigy. It's been a fun 5.5 years. If you picked up a reverb, distortion, or feedback to support me, I want to give you a huge thank you. Your support is huge. In the meantime, my website is going to be 60% off all discs when you use code blah, blah, blah. You're gonna do some work if you can find the code. This isn't an
come
ad
on,
read.
Give him the code.
It's not an ad read here.
You got that far.
24KJ. If okay. You can decipher that, best of luck.
Good luck.
See if there's anything you like. Exciting news coming soon, though. Website link in bio. So
did Pro Diggy post?
That's actually a great question,
check
Trev.
That. We're really gut wrenching here.
No, this literally he just posted this. No
we're
post from Prodigy yet at all. Did they share it to this story?
He said, no. He said, exciting news coming.
Exciting news coming, which in disc golf means one or two things. There either is exciting news coming, or that means,
it's likely
hey,
not exciting.
Someone please reach out. I'm unsponsored.
Let's do something a drama podcast would do.
Well, let's remind
speculate.
Everyone first here. Okay. He signed a 4-year extension with Prodigy. It was announced December 30th, 2021.
It hasn't been 4 years
since.
If you
since do then. Your math, that would be through the end
I
of next season.
I think that is a meaning. Here's okay.
He
let's
is
all
breaking
play.
The law.
Let's all play. What's gonna happen next? You guys. Well, I'm gonna guess first. I don't want to take my guess.
Exciting news coming soon.
My guess is he is quitting disc golf.
I was about to say. I think
he's
out
pursuing
of disc golf.
DJing full time.
I think he's done with disc golf. That's
I would
think.
Have to agree.
I think he's done with disc golf as well.
He.
Okay.
Hasn't
so
had
my thought was not original.
No. Yeah. Because I mean, well,
you said it first.
Well, I think he's gonna go be a potato farmer.
Oh.
There. Now I said something.
Yeah. Original. Actually, I do think he's gonna be a potato farmer.
Dang. Well, because let's look at his season so far. He went 44th at chess.com, 52nd at Waco, 24th the Open at Austin, 78th at Texas States,
that's
51st
not something-
at Jonesboro, 20th at Music City, 60th at Champions Cup, 68th at DDO, 41st at OTB, 78th at Portland, 34th at Beaver
now,
State.
Now, I'll just say, like, gut reaction to what you just said, that doesn't sound like a guy who's about to announce exciting news in disc golf. Mm-hmm.
No, so Kevin Jones has always been like the guy who has like the most untapped potential. Like you just feel like he should be a top 10 guy, and then he just isn't.
Mm-hmm.
KJ USA.
So what's yeah. going on? I
I'm
don't
tell
know.
Tell my grandkids about the KJ USA fall off, man.
Here's the thing: is I don't see him going to another company mid-season, mainly because he has the distortion, he has the reverb. The feedback, yeah. like he
sometimes,
has,
though,
he has molds that were built specifically
Prodigy
with him.
In the mud with their players a little bit. I could see there being like differences, for sure, and him like them figuring out a way for him to now. What's really gonna be beautiful, is if we get another. If he posts that and we get it tomorrow, a little discgolf.law video, and it's Prodigy is suing Kevin Jones for breach of contract.
It
like,
could.
Could you imagine if it's another one? Mm-hmm. Holy smokes.
No, it's...
Let's say this. If he's still in disc golf...
Where does he go?
And he actually goes somewhere. It's like his name is still worth something. Like, especially to a smaller company. Where does he go?
He's back to Pro Disc.
DGA.
Pro Discus.
I think he was getting paid pretty well. Because when he signed that contract, like he was...
No, it's a weird one.
When he signed that contract, he was in a much better spot in disc golf than he is today.
Yeah.
Yeah. So also, like, note the date of him signing the contract. Extension
2021.
There was money.
There was
flowing.
A lot of money in disc golf.
Money was flowing. The
yeah,
bread
they,
and honey.
They probably thought by now
heard,
he'd be a world champ.
I had even heard like
Universe Champ.
There was always there was always rumors and speculation of like part of the reason Dickerson left was
because
they chose Kevin Jones over him. Like they chose KJ as their guy.
How about
so
now?
Like if that's the truth, then they paid him well, and he's like a little over halfway into his contract.
Yeah,
like he still has a year and a half on that thing,
brother.
He's not just walking to another disc golf company unless Prodigy's the one giving him the boot. Unless it's a flip flop,
we are going.
But they can't. I feel like it's even more legally sketchy for them to breach the contract than for him.
I need to start texting.
But apparently, contracts don't mean anything in disc golf. So
I don't know. But even a mid-season retirement from disc golf?
Yeah.
It all is fascinating. Let us know in the comments what you think is about to happen. Prodigy didn't post, which could mean one of two things. Either they didn't know it was coming or
they didn't
they have something else planned.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times they'll see like a collab post type thing.
Mm.
But I don't know. If he does go somewhere in disc golf,
I like DGA.
I like
DGA.
Dirty Mint.
I was thinking
Dirty Mint.
But I just, it could be infinite. It could. Who's he tight with? Who's he?
Oh, who's his boys? Well, you saw Gateway, or you saw not Gateway. You saw Drew Gibson with the like.
That's true.
With the emoji.
What
post.
Did he hit? A gravestone fly. Rest in. I think that's even a bigger thing of like he's done with disc golf. Because Kevin. Because
no, I think it was just the. What was it? What was the emoji?
Drew Gibson hit him with the. Gravestone and a like bird flying
the
away.
RIP
dove.
And the dove, dude. That's dude. What could that mean?
I think that that's a, like
gravestone and a dove.
Like his career's done. Well, we know who to text.
Shmoog Ishrin.
Because everything else like no one. OTB said next chapter. Let's go.
Who wants to do it? Who wants to send the text?
That the OTB's aligns more with he is staying in disc golf. The next chapter. Let's go. Flex emoji.
Wait, who said that?
OTB. Who is on Team OTB.
Yeah, okay, that's... Well, they would probably say that if he was DJing, too.
But he could go. He could just go open back. Maybe he's just done
with... Dude, I'm promising you for free. If you got him throwing jokeries again, watch out.
But if he's got, like, a guaranteed paycheck from Prodigy, why would he switch to open back right now? Because it's not like...
And if Prodigy was the one telling him...
What if he was one of those guys that's like, he really blames the discs?
Maybe there was a...
Or maybe he's really planning on starting to play better.
Oh, I'm saying maybe there was a performance
clause. He's like, next week, I'm going to play better.
Yeah.
Like, maybe he couldn't... Oh. Maybe there was some type of performance clause. In the contract. Yeah.
Like,
he
you're
has
like
to,
if you're outside the top 50 in the world rankings, which would never happen, Kev, then we have to terminate your contract.
Someone did comment and say lawsuit coming in 3-2.
Well, here's the thing. He's not going to smush them yet because he's still trying to move his plastic. So you got to wait till the dust settles before he says anything if he like was unhappy.
His discs do feel pretty good.
Yeah. Can we just get a shout out to... Foundation, should we put our stuff on sale?
Should we put the reverb
stuff
overcut. On sale?
No, let's wait because we might find out tomorrow that he's like, never mind, I'm not leaving because I can't afford to go to jail.
Jail?
He's getting sued.
Oh.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
I can't afford to get to jail.
So his previous posts, so he posted on June, his posts so far this year are like June 3rd, even with the way I'm playing disc golf. I can appreciate how amazing my life is. And then the next post was round two, Beaver State Fling, middle of the pack after the first round, hoping I can score big today and get in the hunt. And then, boom, I'm leaving Prodigy. I don't know. Fascinating stuff. So we'll keep you updated. If there's another breaking news situation, we'll have a reaction video live on our channel to, like, bring that back. If not, hopefully some news will break this week, and we'll get it to you next week.
If Kevin Jones pursues DJing full-time, in our support, I think we need to get him to make us a little like intro tune.
Okay.
We need to contract Kevin Jones to make our intro tune for something. Something, man.
All right. So if that happens, that'll happen. But comment down below, where do you think Kevin Jones is going? What do you think about this whole situation? And
Club Aqua.
Let's jump back Let's jump back into wherever we are in the episode right now. I don't have the Manufacturer's Cup update, so we'll just have to update the Manufacturer's Cup after next week. We'll just come back on Monday. But we're going to throw it into Trevor's Trivia. Before we do that, I want to let you know about our subscription box. You might not know this, but Foundation Disc Golf has a subscription box, and they're not just a way for us to dump old inventory on you like you might find from some other people. Each month, we are designing custom stamps, placing specific orders with manufacturers, and curating the box to a specific theme to make sure you get way more out of the box than what you can pay. What do you pay, you might ask? $45, and you get 3 premium discs plus a swag item each and every month. And this month, in my opinion, is probably our most coherent and ambitious theme yet. People are getting their hands on it, and the reviews are already great. People are posting what they're doing with this box all over the place. You might have seen it. It's a very exciting box. If you want to learn more information, you can check the link in the description down below, and I'll take you to a landing page where you can learn all about the subscription box, how often it ships, all that stuff. And if you want to try to type it in, it's foundationdisc.com/pages/subscription-box. Take my word for it. Just look in the show notes. Way easier to do that. And if you get in before the end of June, you'll get that box I'm talking to you about right now, one of our most ambitious subscription boxes yet. You're not going to miss out on it. Check it out over there. Time for the fan favorite segment, Trevor's Trivia. What do you got this week?
All right, so I wanted to do, I did this game with Connor, and so I wanted to do it with you and see if you can, how far you can get.
Oh, yeah.
So
I didn't do great.
Connor and I
started out really
we
well.
I got to update people. I'm glad we're here. We did a Sporacle quiz last week for Trevor's Trivia for in honor of Trevor. Actually, I said in memory of Trevor.
Yeah.
But we couldn't figure out, it was 2021 Disc Golf Pros bags. You had to guess the molds in it. Oh. We couldn't figure out. Paul, we were missing a fairway driver, and Adam Hams, we were missing a mid. And I let the time go so that they would fill it for us because we did 5 minutes. It was a 10-minute thing. And I said, I'll come back to it. And never came back.
Yeah.
Opened my laptop. It was still on it.
Okay.
The fairway driver for
Let me guess what you missed.
We missed one fairway driver for Paul, one mid-range for Adam Hams.
And they were a true fairway and a true mid?
Yep, from 2021 bag.
Okay. Paul, fairway. You missed the heat? Okay.
Ham is mid.
He throws some weird stuff from time to time. Well, I assume you guessed the wasp.
We did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does he throw a drone?
No. Well, I don't know. He might have. We guessed whatever he threw. But the two we missed was Paul's tracker.
Oh
what the that. Frick?
Yeah. He had that tracker in there well. And Ham is through a Malta.
Malta, yeah.
Malta. Completely forgot about that.
Well, once we said wasp, didn't go to Malta.
Yeah, because it's just like it's like a worst.
There you go.
Yeah, that's
so that I saw some comments about like, you're just going to leave us on the cliffhanger. You never came back. So there you go.
That's
fine. Tracker, Malta.
Dang.
So this is how this game works. Basically, you are going to be naming PDGA approved discs.
And this is
you're
a fun
be
game.
You're trying to name as many discs as possible. That's the goal. But each time you name a disc, it has to be more recently approved than the one before it.
Okay.
So that's literally the only premise of the game. I will go as specific as the day if I need to. So you want to start with naming the oldest disc you can think of and then try to space it as close to together as possible. But as soon as you mess up, you lose.
Okay.
So you're trying to go as big as
possible. I'll start with the Innova Aero.
Okay.
That's exactly what I did.
Nice.
Yeah,
Connor's first few were really good.
So I did really good on the first few.
So you're starting. That was it. That's one, and you're starting at June 1st, 1983.
Okay. We will then move on to the... Oh, boy. Now I'm stuck.
It's tough.
Go ahead and give me the Gateway Wizard.
Okay, it's going to be a significant jump.
It went like early 2000.
That's going to take you to January 9th, 2002.
Told you.
What was Gateway's first flagship
disc? That's
on disc?
The Wizard's not as old as you think.
So now
Gateway had a disc in the like late 80s, early 90s.
I thought so.
Maybe.
We're going to have to look that up after. I mean, obviously it's not the Wizard, but I'm just wondering, what did they start with?
Yeah.
Then? All right, 2002. Well, now I'm home. Now I feel better. Now I feel more comfortable about where I'm going. We just had the 20-year buzzes, so let's go with the Discraft Buzz.
Smart, hunt.
The Discraft Buzz. By the way, the oldest Gateway disc, I had it here, is the 844 Saber, 1998. They also did they had a bunch of discs in 99.
Why do I think they started in the 80s?
Did not.
I don't know.
Okay. McCormick have a different company before Gateway?
So we're going with the Buzz.
The Buzz,
for
yeah,
number
the buzz.
Three. Let's see. I mean, yeah, we should pretty much know this one because we did just have the 20-year buzzes. 03. September 30th, 03. So you're up to three discs.
That How was a far good did Connor get in?
Probably about here.
Okay.
I guessed a disc that, like,
I forget what you jumped to, but all of a sudden.
We'll talk about it in a second.
So we're at 2003 now.
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be a tough run right here. Because what would come after?
These are the crucial ones. This can really decide it for you. Like,
Prodigy is going to be way too recent. Dynamic Discs just started having their 10-year stuff. So they are too recent as well. So we got to hit. Oh, I mean, it's got to be. I think I got to go to Innova with some stuff that was coming out around then. Because Discraft, I just don't know the order of everything.
Yeah, it would make you wonder why someone would choose to keep guessing Discraft.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because that's what I did. I was stuck in Discraft. I don't know why.
The problem with Discraft is I can go like the Thrasher. I know I'm going to be in the 2012s, 2014 range, but like, why the frick would I do that?
Because then once you're at 2012, you can get a bunch of discs in a row.
That is true.
I should have just got there. That's why, because I kept on trying to sneaky stay around early 2000s.
You're giving me too much strategy.
No, it's okay.
I think I'm going to ignore that. I'm going to act like I didn't hear that.
Okay.
Because that is a great idea.
I'll take it back.
I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to go with the Rock 3.
That is a
three.
Is
why most, did you? Why didn't you go Rock?
Yes.
Well, what do you, Rock. I'm in 2003.
Oh, gotcha. You're right.
Why did not pop up? Search this
because I think the Rock 3 that'll probably put me in like 2010s.
That puts you That's interesting. The Rock 3's approval date is 2017, but that doesn't make any sense. No, this doesn't make any sense because it got
reapproved maybe
if you search Rock because or did they not get it or it's just the Rock mold. Maybe they
start calling it Rock 3.
So
well, it's just it's not a different mold, I guess.
But there's the Rock 3 started, like they were manufacturing. Is that when the Rock 3 got flippy?
Because if it's not,
dude,
technically,
because it's right around the time of like the four times. Or,
well, no, because Paul was a four time in 2015.
So here, because obviously if the Rock got approved, the V Rock gets approved in 2014, still after the first Rock 3s came out. Then you have the Rock X 3 in February of 2017 and the Rock 3 in August of 2017.
Come on. The Rock X3 came out between the Rock, before the Rock 3?
Maybe the Rock 3 wasn't actually a different mold.
I'm in 2017 now. I'm in 2017.
Yeah, you're in 2017.
We're going to research that history because something's wonky
there.
That
is very interesting.
Okay, I'm at 2017 now. Okay, well now we're getting interesting. Okay. Let's go with Discraft Luna.
They just had an illegal disc all this time. Luna, December 2018.
Okay.
I think you're like that.
December 2018. When did Paul? Discs. Oh, because he signed in January 2018. Okay, December 2018. I'm going away from the PM line because I don't know the order of the Zeus and Hades and all that stuff. That's terrifying.
You can sit in that though. You can just go boom, boom, boom.
Well, I can get to like modern day, but like Zeus and Onyx, I can't because like I know the Hades.
You
is
know
post-2019.
Which one came out after the Luna.
But I think the game. I think they were approved really close.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, so I don't want to. I don't want to get
true. It's
I don't
not a release
myself.
Date. It's
yeah,
approval
it's approved
date.
Date. So you know what? I'm going to jump to the Hades because that would have been approved. It was actually I think approved pre his 2019 win because he had the name it for it already. But it should be post Luna.
Okay, let's see Hades. Well, because also it'd be tricky because technically the Zeus wasn't the Zeus.
That's true. It was Kong.
The Hades was March 5th, 2020.
Wow. Okay.
You're still alive, though.
Still alive. I got 4 years.
Yeah.
You can really get month by month, though,
to run through stuff.
End.
Well, but no, it's approval date. Because stuff like
yeah,
the stuff. Freaking MVP, what is their thing? The Beam has been approved for almost a decade or something
a
crazy and hasn't come out
years.
Yet. The Beam with their Gyro X.
That's true.
Gyro X.
So I'm not guessing that one.
So we're at 2020. March of 2020.
When would the Passion surely was already approved by 2020.
Surely.
I know, because she went Fierce first, and she signed after Paul, right? They didn't both sign in 2018, did they?
I think they
I think they did sign at the same time.
They might have signed at the same time. Okay. Lock back in.
Locking.
Well, think about it.
This is my first summer at Foundation.
Paul's Garage. What are we unboxing?
Interesting choice to help
him,
Trevor.
It's approved, though. It's approval day. That doesn't help me.
Because he might... Yeah, we're still neck and neck right now, Trevor.
Release date doesn't matter. It's approval
day. Yeah, but it helps, doesn't it?
It helps, but you gotta... I mean, when we're getting this
close...
There's
not too many BMXs out there in the world.
Oh.
Oh! Does Wasp 3.
No, I think I got to go to the new Discmania at some point soon.
Okay.
Because they had to reapprove their molds.
Brudda. That was in 2022, I think.
That's not that far from 2020.
Sure isn't. 2 years.
Okay.
Choose a company.
You're
that,
broken,
choose
dude.
A company that just like came out at
like
that time.
Like Mint.
Oh,
but like I don't know when they came out.
Dirty Mint. Yeah.
What if they were established?
Just do it. Like, just
No. No. MD3 Discmania.
Oh, you're playing it safe, dude. That's gonna be way after.
Well,
or way
won.
Before.
Okay.
No, not really.
Wait,
July
what if it's the original?
See?
Why wouldn't it be the original MD3?
Because that's the old mold.
Oh, it's not non-existent anymore.
That's now the Metal Warrior, but I don't know if they got Metal Warrior reapproved. I don't know what happened there. They got the Rock 3 reapproved, but
yeah, so
Enema plays by their own rules.
Wait, but why, if you look up MD3, does it not show the original MD3?
It shows up both.
They redid it.
Well, I'm using Hunter's context to, you know,
yeah, they redid the MD3.
I know which one he wanted.
Okay, so now we're in 2021.
You little snake, dude. Yeah. You're trying to win again.
You dirty biscuit.
I already lost. I'm just trying to figure out. It's for the spirit of the game, man.
2021.
Karn's just trying to uphold the integrity of our beautiful game.
Yeah, that's how I work.
Whatever, guys.
What are you whatever guysing?
I want the Innova J.
You
the
really
J.
want one?
I want the J.
I'm J.
You want a J?
I want the J.
You can go get one.
Pete
Megaman's
made
a
J.
That's interesting. So the original J, apparently there's been two. There's a new one. They came out like right around each other. But the J came out September 5th, 2022.
All right. September 5th, 2022. I missed the Malta. Dang it.
You stinker.
That was the other one I would have known. Okay, so we're in 2022 now. So now we're talking like
last year.
We're at
the end
of
2022.
Last year.
September 5th,
okay,
2022.
Okay. Give me...
You can have it.
The
riveting.
I'm gonna go into the Royal line now.
He's gonna go with the
Are
Rivet.
You?
I want the original
Ooh,
part of
idea.
The Royal line because they like just started that.
Oh, so you want like the Grace?
That's what I'm trying to think of. Do I want to go like the Hulk?
Oh, Trevor, seriously.
I can't remember what was like coming out first.
I am just gonna try and like
I don't remember you helping me.
I'm gonna go with the Hope. Give me the Hope. I want Hope.
Just so you know, Connor guessed Hornet on like his second or third guess and jumped like a decade.
Yeah, because what I would
the Hope.
I really like
Hope.
I didn't think it was
I
that,
also I, didn't think it was that far.
I really felt like the Hornet came out before the Buzz.
The
I
Hope,
thought
the
Hornet
the
was an
was
older
approved.
Disc.
I think the Wasp came
October
out.
25th of 2021, you lose.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working. The HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Dang, Hunt. That sucks, man. You got classic.
Why did, man, that came out 3 years
ago.
Is that like, when did they release The Hope? Has that been out 3 years ago?
It was like it was a while ago because it took us a while to get from the putters to the premium stuff.
Okay, we gotta figure out this Rock 3 thing.
How are you gonna find you can, finding history related to Innova? I swear they burned it all. Like it's tough, man. They need somebody needs to come out with an Innova historian website and just like try to get to the bottom of it all.
Innova 3 series. Okay, Innova wanted to create a signature rock for Paul Macbeth, and since this was the third variation of the Rancho Cucamonga rock, it was named the RC3. Apparently, the simple moniker stuck, as it went for Rock 3 as the new name. But that wouldn't allude to why was the Rock 3 Innova approval history.
I'm like, was look. It actually a new mold, or was it just they came out?
Well, so what I'm going
to
do is make
okay,
sure...
Okay, here's a Reddit thread. I'm hoping someone will be able to give me some insight. I've been playing for 3.5 years. The Rock 3 is my favorite disc, blah, blah, blah. I went to the PGA site. approval date is 2017. It was approved.
Oh, somebody's.
However, based on the Innova announcement, it sounds like it was on 2012. Believe that Rock 3 were released. It was considered a variant of the Rock mold and didn't require separate approval. If you look at the approvals of all three molds were approved in 2017, I'm assuming the PDGA changed their stance on these being variants of the original mold, but I don't know that for sure. Something similar happened when Innova released their CE plastic. So that's why the V-Rock and everything was approved around the same time, is they were all variations of the Rock mold, so they didn't have to get approved, and then something changed that made them have to get approved.
That makes heck of sense.
So that's why they all got approved in 2017.
I don't like the V-Rock. I don't like it.
No, the V-Rock was.
Why is the V-Rock?
I used to bag one in college.
It was like straighter, wasn't it, than a Rock?
Yeah, I had a DX one. It was like a dead straight disc. It's fine.
All right, we got to give some shout outs here because the PDGA Masters Disc Golf World Championships
The Masters of Disc Golf.
It's exciting because, like, if we look at some of these players, you'll definitely recognize a lot of these names. We had Joe Revere took down the MP
by 14.
I recognize that
by
name.
14.
Why is he not playing on tour?
He's disgusting.
Do we have to refer to him as Master
Joe
now?
He is a 1036 rated, which would put him way up there in the highest rated.
Dude must just like his life and enjoy dominating like local scene disc golf because like he could totally be playing.
But this field had Eric McCabe in it, Cale LaVisca, Dutch Napier. Remember him?
Josh Anton. Remember him?
Yep.
David Feldberg,
Dana Vici, Dave Feldberg, Dixon Jowers, Paul Omen, Pete Ulibarri.
Paul Omen's that old?
Yeah, Pete Ulibarri, Paul's older brother. Trevor Harbolt, didn't know he was that old.
Wait, Pete's his older brother?
Yeah.
Wait, isn't Pete the guy that
Pete Ulibarri?
Guys, I love
that. You thought Pete Ulibarri was his dad? No, I'm pretty
I'm so stupid.
Because he always commented about like they would be one of the better sibling duos.
Yeah, I'm thinking,
he always threw himself into there.
Stupid.
Ricky Snapp, recognize that
name?
Oh,
wait,
is Ricky Snapp?
He's a local guy, somewhat local.
I thought there were
Shasta
I'm
Chris.
Of James Snappy Cole.
Oh, Shasta
Chris is out there.
Dude, Dirty Shasta.
This is just like this.
Trevor Harbolt is that old?
That's what I said. Yeah.
What the heck?
And then Owen Scoggins won. I think this is her fourth FP40 Worlds in a row. She won it by 25 strokes over Jennifer Allen.
That's tough.
Crazy.
Tough look.
Johnny
Pete
McCray.
Ulibarri. Wait, how old is Pete Ulibarri? He does not look old. He does not look
he's
old.
He's an MP40, so he's probably not 40. That old.
Yeah, he's definitely.
Johnny McCray beat out Brian Schweberger.
He's definitely not an old guy.
No. 40 years old is not old.
I think that I'm thinking of somebody else in my head, and I'm embarrassed to say who I'm thinking of, so I'm not going to.
Johnny McCray took down MP50. Juliana Corver took down FP50. Kevin Babbitt, hadn't heard of him, MP55, but he beat out a Sir Patrick Brown. Remember Patty Brown?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's got to have a fire chicken in their bag, man. Whole reason I threw a Firebird. FP55, you had a Lane
Patrick
King.
Brown's actually here to meet you right now.
he's also the only
He just came back from meeting the Queen. She dubbed him Sir.
MP60, we had Andrew Back.
Andrew
Taking
is back.
Amy back. Schiller took it down in FP60. Bill Rohe.
There's so many divisions.
65.
Why don't they do every 10
Madam.
Years?
Lori Chupa, 65.
I guess a lot happens between 70 and 80.
MP70, we had Harvey Brandt. And then MP80.
Dude, Harvey.
Oh, now they go every 10 years. So when it matters the most to go five-year increment, then they go 10 years.
I guess MP80, Pete May.
Was there only three of
them? Wow.
It looks like there's only three, yeah.
Seven-stroke victory.
Come on,
considering
Pete.
There's only three people in the field.
Pete May took it down. He's now a multiple-time world champ. He's also the founder of college disc golf. And
I'm pretty sure he played ping pong on TV at some point.
He did. I think in China.
Yeah.
I think he had a TV show in China. Pete May.
He is one of the most interesting men in the world.
And I think he's a Grip Lock listener. So, Pete, if you are listening, congratulations, Pete. Also, kind of the reason Foundation exists, college disc golf.
It's true.
You got to draw a long line to get there, but
you can
get it there.
The line can be drawn.
The line can be drawn.
Papa Pete.
Papa Pete.
We always call him.
That's
Pop,
what we always called him.
Big hug.
We'll just call him Pop Pop.
I want to just read through this because I thought it was fun, which was Reddit did a... There's a thread on Reddit by Clay the Bay 9.
Dude, that's a sick Reddit
name. He said,
yeah, dude, congratulations.
What's your disc golf toxic trait? So I just wanted to read some of these because they're fun.
That's maybe funny. I'll relate to some of them.
I know mine.
I don't know what
he said
is.
His is walking to his lie before those who are up first have thrown. In my mind, if you're first to act, you should reach your lie before those who... landed closer to the pin, but the reality is everyone's just having a good time and not putting premium on efficiency like I do. I never really done that one. This one I definitely do, which is turning away from a bad drive in frustration and missing where it landed, so now I have to take longer hunting for it.
Yep.
Did anybody see where that went?
Yeah, I mean, you just like get halfway up there, I'm just like, hey guys, I'm sorry. I saw it hit that tree and kick right, and I don't know what happened after that. This one was just commentating it. Overly encouraging to cardmates discs mid-flight, like, oh, get around it, keep turning, skip, stable up.
I think everybody does that.
Everyone does that a little bit. Commentary even does that. Getting frustrated when stuck behind a slow group and getting nasty when I'm part of the group someone else is stuck behind.
Antsy.
Oh, antsy. I'm dyslexic. I read that nasty. All letters are there.
I get like that. If there's somebody kind of coming up behind us, I'm antsy the whole time.
Yeah.
Should we let them play through?
I'm a big proponent of letting people play through for my own sake. I don't want to be stressing.
Yeah.
Samesies.
One of my least favorite things, and this happened to us on the golf course the other day, is when you wait to let someone play through and they're like, oh, no, y'all go ahead. Like, I'm taking my time. I'm like, no, you don't understand. I'm asking you to play through because you're riding our tail.
Yeah.
Just like, go ahead through, please, for my sake. And they're like, no, y'all, we're just playing. We're having a good time out here. Don't you worry about it. I'm like,
just do it.
But bro, I'm not having a good time because you're breathing down my neck and I want to have a good time out here. So,
dude, you better, if Hunter tells you to play through.
If I say play through,
you better play through.
You know, maybe that was the problem. It sounded like a question. It was a command.
Yeah.
Oh, you're playing through.
Like, I'm just being like, I'm not going to leave the tee box.
Okay.
So,
okay, fine. You're going to take your time. Well, so am I. And I brought a picnic.
I'm going to hit 20 balls off of every tee unless you play through right now. Then we'll see if you're having a good time. Just having fun.
Mattman605 also said, getting annoyed at people putting with premium plastic and or non-traditional putters. I've been there.
Yeah.
I haven't been there putting with it.
I don't get annoyed. More so fascinated.
But like, I remember there was this dude. I don't know if he still plays disc golf or not. His name was Sean Tapley. He was dirty. Would beat me
Dirty Sean
all the time in MA1 around here. I think he moved to California. Super athletic dude. But he putted at that time with A2s from Prodigy.
Interesting. That's sick.
And you know what was frustrating, and what only reason it annoyed me, was because he beat me.
Yeah.
Well, and you're like, I'm sitting there with my Mick Pro AVRs trying my hardest, all focused, and this dude's throwing flex shots from 30 feet into the dead center chains over and over.
Do what works, man. Here, listen.
He did. Bryson, he worked it all over me.
Bryson DeChambeau was talking about how he floats his golf balls in Epsom salt the other day in order to figure out the imbalances. You know, some guys are willing to do just that extra amount, that extra 1%. And if you putt better with a different distance,
are you comparing that to putting with A2s?
Yes.
You consider putting with A2s doing that extra ounce, that
if
extra
bit?
If it
works for you, I'm saying, like, you're not willing to look like a weirdo for something that works.
One is somebody studying something and figuring out the best way to use it. One is somebody putts with A2s.
And two are people doing something that works best for them, even though it sounds a little crazy, because nobody else is floating their golf balls in bathtubs.
I would understand if he, like, put it in a wind tunnel and was like, I understand that whenever it comes to putting, an A2 just flies the best, but he just putts with A2s.
Because it works best for him.
I know. It was just a funny comparison.
No, dude. You're an op. Here's the thing. We don't actually know what the best putter is. I'm going to die on that hill, dude. I'm just going to keep saying that to the end of the day. It's like, we just don't even know what good form is yet, man.
But does anyone, like, in golf, do they know what the best ball is?
Here's what I'll tell you for free. I've seen guys putting with overstable drivers, like non-ironically, way better than I'll ever putt with a putter. And so that's...
One thing I did notice...
Who cares?
One thing I did notice, I don't know what it contributes to this, but a lot of the European pros at this tournament this weekend...
Mambas.
No, they had... A lot of them had the snake strike putt. Like, a lot of them had a short attacking putt from... Like, in the U.S., the most common putt you see is the, like, sweeping, like, spush putt.
Yeah.
But for some reason, whoever they're looking up to...
That's just the Euro League,
they had
man.
It was a very, like, abrupt spin putt from right here, and they were deadly.
Different rules over there, man.
Well, no, it speaks to your thing of, like...
That European style.
Where we're at right now, there is no... And in golf, everyone putts different, too. Like, at the end of the day, it's a feel thing.
It's whatever works.
Never, it's whatever. Whatever gets the disc in the basket is what you do. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a DeWalt.
What's the equivalent of what?
You ever see how Bryson does the arm lock putting where he locks it? What's that in disc golf? What's arm lock putting in disc golf?
Same thing. Ricky Wysocki.
Yeah, but you don't have anything to brace. You don't have anything to, like...
Maybe it's... I think it's not putting. I think it's... Could you do that?
Wait, dude. That would be a sick video. You stick a pole up your shirt sleeve and you got to play locked arm.
Then you just turn to Dave Feldberg, which is who I was about to say.
He's got
throw.
He said he has the perfect biomechanics.
The Swedish biomechanic thing.
He's got the best. Yeah, they're from Sweden.
You just put like a brace on your elbow.
He's an astrophysicist.
Oh, should we play in braces?
Yeah. Like, you should go get braces.
Loser has to get braces.
Yeah, like on your mouth teeth.
On your mouth teeth, dude. Loser has to sign up for Invisalign.
My toxic trait that I've had to work against for the past few years, I learned that it was my toxic trait whenever we were doing Bogey Bro battle videos.
Okay.
Is that if your throw doesn't look like Paul Macbeth, I think you're bad at disc golf.
Yeah,
my toxic
like
trait.
There's a lot of ways to get a disc down the fairway.
If you don't like, I would literally think because I studied Paul Macbeth's form and form period,
so
and tried to have like the disc golf form. And if you didn't have the disc golf form, I think you're bad at disc golf. You happen to score well, but you're bad at disc golf. And then we go do bogey row battles with people that just look awful, but they're freaking crushing the disc and playing like crazy. And so, you guys, I feel like have great looking form, and I've seen you guys get beat by a lot of people. Yeah, sorry,
you're not wrong.
They score better than you. Never lost. But yeah,
I don't understand what
my toxic trait is. I usually will just start snacking on the chalk in my chalk bag. Kind of snack. I keep forgetting it's not powdered sugar. Snack on it.
I think my toxic trait is the worse I play, the more encouraging I try to be to like card mates when I'm having a fun round.
Tired, dude. The lighting on this set is not good, bro.
Like, if I...
What's going on right now?
What? It's like, if I...
Flashlight into the camera.
If I feel awkward if I'm playing bad because I can get down in the dump. So if I'm having a casual round, I try to make sure everyone else is having fun when I'm not. And so I'll be playing with that. Like, oh, dude, that was like such a sick shot. That was great, dude. You did so good there. That was awesome. And then I just get the fair and like try to rush my shot because I'm like, I'm holding everyone up.
Or you just make jokes out of all your throws.
Yeah.
You set yourself up for failure before you throw the disc because you're not throwing.
Not
well.
If I'm doing like a really competitive round, I don't.
Oh, no, no, you
but
don't.
But like if we're just having a fun round and I'm falling apart, that's my only way I can cope.
Yeah.
Is I have to give me a reason to fall apart.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
Well, okay. But I was doing 360 no-scope, so I'm kidding. Like, what do you expect? Of course. All right, it's time for the Solid Selects. We didn't get to the top 10 or the other questions. We'll get those eventually.
We're so good at podcasting.
We just, well, it's probably because we talked about 20 minutes about iced tea, but hey.
Okay, here we go. That was
Silas Select.
That whole revelation has been really, really big in my life. So
the
I don't
Silas want
to pick up
Select.
The bag because I think I'd be able to feel the difference.
Yeah,
I
get a call from Big Hunt.
The Silas Select is no one talk.
I haven't been here.
Whoa, dude.
Yeah.
He seriously. Just said no one talk.
I think that it's a entropy.
Entropy.
We used to do that all the time, guys. You remember that?
Yeah. I was so rowdy.
Trevor, I remember the other day. By the other day, I mean earlier in this podcast. I remember. Do you remember whenever we did all the pranks on Hunter while he was out of town, and we made a fake 1,000 rated zone and spray painted?
I was like, I thought you were talking about this last time. I'm like, we didn't prank him. Yeah, I remember.
So we went through so much effort to make a fake 1,000 rated
all
zone.
All that just for the music to be too loud, man.
Gosh, dude, we need to throw that thing into Adobe Podcast AI.
Yeah, dude. So it sounds like.
No, dude, it'd be like
Hunter.
The fitness
Hunter, it's not that hard. Just think of a disc. What are you doing over there?
I want to win. I want to do it.
It's having an aneurysm. I'm going to take the Discraft Cicada.
Nice.
You sweating over there, Silas? Huh? You like that pick, huh?
You know what? I'm gonna go with I'm going back to it. I'm going with
you can't second guess yourself or you'll never live with yourself.
Invictus. Oh. I'm going with an Invictus.
You can't third
Invictus.
Guess yourself.
Do you even have an Invictus?
Doesn't matter. Pick it up.
What is it?
It's a Prophet from Invictus.
Oh, I should have known.
Sausy, why'd you pick that?
No one was close.
All right, he's ready to send the McDonald's challenge.
All right, that's it. We'll talk to you again. Actually, is the Preserve this weekend? I don't know.
Yeah, there's a preview show coming up.
There's a preview show coming up, and then we'll talk to you again on next Monday to recap everything that goes down. We'll see you.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.